Isn't God good? Amen, amen, amen. There was this church down the road. Preacher got up one morning and looked outside the church, and there was a mule. It had died right in the congregation. Not congregation, right in the parking lot. Died. So he called the city and asked him, could they come move the mule? And they said, we've never had this problem before. You're going to have to ask the mayor. So he called the mayor and said, Mayor, I got a dead mule in my yard. What you going to do about it? He said, hold on there, preacher. Isn't it your job to bury the dead? And the preacher got one of those spirits about him and said, yeah, but it's my job also to first inform the next of kin. Well, we could really have an awesome service today, but honestly, I got in a hurry and put on some new shoes and they're not broke in. My feet hurt. And, I mean, I can't hardly stand walking on them. And our PowerPoint projector, it just got messed up, and I'm so disgusted with that. And just y'all just don't look like you really. So this morning, in honor of all the things that's happened this morning, the sermon today is. Oop. Complain and remain. How many's got some stuff in your life you wish hadn't happened? How many want to talk about it all the time? I guarantee if that's all you talk about is all the bad stuff that's happened to you, I guarantee we could all write a book. Amen. I don't know who wants to read it because my book's full enough. I don't want to read your book. But again, I was just kidding about all. My shoes do hurt my feet. And the PowerPoint projector did break down, but I'm thinking it's pretty cool that all this happened on the same day I'm talking about complaining. So the Lord, he has a sense of humor. Amen. We know he does because he called me to preach. Amen. I saw DC last week on YouTube, and the Lord blessed that boy. He done a wonderful job, didn't he? And then Linda called me and told me somebody had elected her to go tell me that I'm out and he's in. And I said, well, I'm his speechwriter. Let me get some credit. Okay. Now, the boy did good. Amen. It's kind of amazing because last year they put powder on his hair and put my clothes on him, and he played me at Emmaus, which was awesome. And then this year he was doing behind the scenes, and he said, Dad, he said, I want to do behind the scenes, but there's only one condition. I get to bunk with you. Well, he bunked in the pastor's wards, in the preacher ward. And so while he's in the preacher's ward, I said, he's bunking in the preacher's ward, and he's gonna. And I couldn't talk, and DC said, "Dad, I got it. Don't worry, I got it." And so then he practiced on the rest of the preachers, but as usual, the practice was only 15, 20 minutes. Y'all got about 40. You say 40? That's my boy. That's my boy. That's my boy. Amen. Okay. Yeah, he said he was in for 2 hours. See, I'm going to not do my dad. I'm going to do two hours. Okay. But how many's ever known anybody with a bad attitude? Loves to complain all the time. I mean, complain about everything. I had somebody I worked with. She complained about everything. And there was a young man worked with me, a Christian man, who never complained about anything. He never talked about anybody. And one day she came up in our office, and she just argued all the way from the front to the back and complained, 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 complained. And when she walked out, he went, that water's too wet. You got to understand, this guy never talked about anybody. Well, now I thought about this. I was in the restaurant one day, and this guy came in. He weren't looking too happy. He was looking, matter of fact, he looked kind of rough and looked kind of mean. He looked over at the waitress and says, do y'all serve crabs in here? And she said, sit down, mister. We'll serve anybody. All right, get your Bible out. Stand for the reading of the Word. God's awesome. I'll break in my shoes while I'm preaching. How about that? Y'all read this with me. There's only one verse. Matter of fact, when you read it, don't look at anybody else. Do not point fingers. Do some things Whoa. Some things. Some. All things, which means good things and bad things. It means when you're happy, when you're sad, when you're good, when you're not good, when you're sick, when you're bad, when you're not feeling good, whatever. Through all things, without murmurings and disputing. Murmuring, how many have ever seen somebody walk away and you say, everything okay? Oh, yeah, sure, everything's okay. And they walk away and they're going, yeah, right, y'all see what I'm going to do. Man, that's the ugliest hair about everything. That's murmuring. Yeah, you think you got it. You ain't got it. Yeah. Oh, how you doing, Brad? You looking good today. I wish you did. Hey, man, I wish I could sing like that. I'm glad I don't. Murmuring and complaining. Okay, let's read it one more time. Do all things without murmuring. All right. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace, your mercy. I thank you, God, for your awesomeness, Lord. You absolutely are awesome. You're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. All things are possible through you and by you, Lord, and we can do nothing without you, God. I ask you right now, Lord, to minister to us and through us, Father, in the name of Jesus we pray. And the church said, amen. Everybody be seated on the way down. Get somebody a high five, low five, no five. Say, the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And nothing shall be impossible. Praise God. Ain't God good? Now, let me tell you something. Everybody in here, I want you to understand something. In your life, not mine, in your life, and in mine too, but in your life, trouble is inevitable. Everybody's going to have some trouble. All God's children got trouble. Trouble is inevitable, but misery is optional. Did y'all hear that? Everybody, all of us got trouble. But you know, some people get trouble and they thrive, and some people get trouble or have trouble coming and they can barely survive. The same trouble is because some thrive because they have decided, I'm not going to let misery be an option for me. Amen? So here we're going to talk about complain and remain. If you want to stay miserable, just complain all the time. Amen? You want to have trouble, just keep on complaining, because I promise you, you're going to keep on having problems. Amen? Let me explain something to you here. Complaining. Complaining can be an action, or complaining can be spoken, unspoken. It can be an attitude. When it is an attitude, it is actually a stronghold in our lives. It's one thing for you to have a little problem. Maybe you're not feeling good today, or you just hit your finger or something's not going good, and you just say, you know what? I can't stand this. But then you think about it, and you bounce back and go, oh, you know what? No. God's got this. But if it's just constant bickering, constant murmuring, constant. Now it's not an action. It's an attitude. And when it's an attitude, then it becomes a lifestyle for you, and it's a lifestyle. It's a stronghold. Matter of fact, it comes from a state of discontent. Your unmet expectations doesn't mean your expectations weren't met. It means they weren't met like you thought they should be. Weren't fast enough, weren't the right direction you wanted, whatever, but it's unmet. And it's also a cry of the flesh, which means, listen, complaining attitude is a spiritual problem. Wow. Somebody look and say he's preaching now. That's right. Look. To complain all the time about everything is a spiritual problem. It will harm peace. It'll harm your joy. It'll harm it will tear up harmony in a family, on a job. I mean, when this person that said that water's too wet, when that lady came to work for us, when they found out she was coming on our team, I knew she was like that. And I said, I really don't think we want her on our team. And Mr. Fountain said, it's a personal favor. Which meant, do it. And I said, but I honestly, it's a personal favor. In other words, shut up and do it. So when I went and told the rest of the team who was coming, they said, we quit. I said, no, you can't quit, because I can't be stuck with her by myself. Y'all got to stay here and help me. All right. And so matter of fact, I thought about her. You know, in 6 days, God created the earth. On the seventh day, he rested. On the eighth day, he took complaints. Amen. So, So when you see this stuff going on, it's some powerful, powerful stuff. Let me tell you something about complaining, a spirit of complaint, all right? Now, this is heavy-duty stuff here now, so listen carefully. We're going to go into Numbers, in Numbers 13 and 14. I'm just going to read a few verses from it. It says, but the men that we went up with him said, we be not able to go against these people, for they are stronger than we. The guys have been for 40 days. They have checked out the promised land to come back, brought those big old grapes between them, but they said, we can't handle this. The problem's too big. How many has ever got a promise from God? And you look at God and say, you expect me to believe that? My children are going to be saved. My marriage is going to be awesome. I mean, I'm going to be able to get along with whoever. You telling me that, God? Look, in chapter 14, it says, would to God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God had died in this wilderness? Wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make another captain, and let us return to Egypt. Success in the promised land depended on the sovereignty of God. Your success on your job is not totally dependent on your talent. Your success on your job is not totally dependent on who you know, unless you're talking about him. Your success in your marriage and with your children is totally dependent on the sovereignty of God. Did you know that? You got to believe that God is. And so when they murmur and complain, they're actually questioning God's ability to carry out his will. If God told you you're going to have a successful life, if God told you you were going to flourish, if God told you he was going to take care of your family, and then you stop and complain every 5 minutes, you were saying, God, I don't think you're able to do what you said you could. I could shut up the book right now. We can all come pray and go home. Somebody said, oh, let's do that. No. I've done been a week without this now, and I just got my voice back. Okay. So look. Complaining is just, and I'm talking about an attitude of complaint. It's just a surface symptom of a deeper problem. It's discontent and lack of trust. I'm not trusting God. I catch myself doing this. I rode down the road the other day. Bethany was driving the car, and I was working on this sermon. Watch this. Watch. Watch. With me, not with you. All right. Look. With me. Huh? And I'm driving. That's how I drive. I know. I've seen Daniel. Daniel, I've seen stuff in their hands get kind of fun around too. I mean, like being in a space shuttle. Okay, so well, we get there, and I'm saying, is that the best you can do? Can't you see what's going on? I'm trying to do this. I'm complaining. Quit making me complain. Then I thought about it. She's not making me complain. I should thank God that she was giving me an opportunity to test the theory that I was writing about. Okay, so now, let me show you something. Here we go. Philippians 2:14. Let's look at it in a different kind. Let's break it down. Do everything readily and cheerfully. No bickering. No second guessing. Wow. Every time that you complain against your circumstances, every grumble about the weather, every time you talk about the way people treat you, about the daily trials of life, I know you're not going to like what I'm going to say. It's okay if you throw fruit. Just make sure it's not canned fruit, all right? It's directed against the one who works all things. And after the counsel of his own will. You know, a lot of times God lets us go through the pressure cooker. How many's ever, my grandmama used to cook roosters every now and then, especially those old mean roosters. Sharon remembers out there, my grandmama, she had some old mean roosters chase you around the yard, peck you on the back of the legs. And my grandma would get tired of the roosters sometimes. She cooked them. Now, when she cooked the hens, she could put them in a frying pan. That says it'd be good. But she cooked the rooster. You couldn't put that rooster in a frying pan. You'd be able to eat it. You had to put the rooster in a pressure cooker. Because the pressure cooker made the rooster tender. And you could eat it. Now, some of us don't realize that we've got rooster attitudes. And we got roosters in us. And God says, I'm trying to get the rooster out. So I'm going to pressure cook. I'm not just going to do like that and you change because that's against free will. He's got to put you in the pressure cooker so that you can learn, instead of grumbling about the weather, you can thank God about the weather. So first, it denies the sovereignty of God. See, complaining, actually, we're going to talk about it again. Complaining is a symptom of that deep spiritual problem. And that spiritual problem is we fail to trust God and be submissive to His provision, providential provision. Complaining is a serious problem. How many like to be around somebody that grumbles and murmurs and complains all the time? Nobody? How many's ever caught yourself doing that? Oh, I'm raising my hand. The Sunday school teacher said, anybody in here wanting to go to hell, raise your hand or stand. She's at the class. She says, anybody here wants to go going to hell, stand. And nobody stands. She says, nobody's planning on going to hell. Fine little boy stood up. And she says, why are you standing up, little Billy? He said, well, I didn't want you to be the only one standing up. See, we take it lightly because we do it so often. It becomes such a habit. We just do it. God don't take it lightly. In Numbers 11, He sent fire. He said, okay, you want to complain? Here you go. I got your complaint list. Push this button. Amen. You know, I had up my office, we had a hand grenade with a number on it that said, you got a complaint, take a number. You pulled the key out of the hand grenade. Amen. So and also had a mouse trap. It said, just push that button if you got a complaint. All right. So watch this now. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Therefore, the Lord said, the Lord is your helper. Shall not care what man shall do unto you. In the Greek it is, I will not in any way fail you. I will not give up on you. I will not leave you without support, no matter what. So now, not only does complaining deny the sovereignty of God, but it also disrupts Christian unity. Numbers 13:30-33 says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we're well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we, and they brought us an evil report, or brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which you have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come with the giants, and we were in our own sights as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. They were in their sight grasshoppers first, and then they saw them as grasshoppers. The enemy saw them as grasshoppers. You see, he said, we can't do what God's told us to do. It's too hard. The people are too big. How many of you ever in here and God's give you a challenge through a message or through a song or something? God gives you a challenge, and you're all ready for it. I mean, you're ready to attack hell with a water pistol and jump out the door. Run out the door. You're ready to attack hell with a water pistol, and you can't find a water pistol or hell. We can't do what God's told us to do. This is what the guys are saying. Go search it out. I told you to occupy the land. You're going to have to take it. Now, when you're going to take that land, there's going to be battles. So he says, they go in to see who they're going to be fighting, and they go, whoa, it's too hard. These people are too big. It's okay as God's talking about fighting, because when you get into battle, then things change. Some of y'all in here, God said I was going to help you do something, whether it be in education, whether it be on your job, whether it be with your family, and then you say, God, thank you for the promise, and as soon as you start fighting to see just how big a problem you have to fix. So wait a minute, God. I was all excited about it sitting in the pew, but it's not so fun when I'm on the highway trying to figure this thing out. Trusting you to see you do what you said to you. You say, we can't get that kind of attitude, because when we start complaining, that's what we're saying. Now, let me ask you a question. Which is bigger, the opposition or the giants or the promise of God? Which is bigger in our lives, the opposition or the promise of God? See, all the congregation lifted their voice and cried, and the people wept all that night, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron, going to stone them. When we complain, we disrupt Christian unity. Wow. I don't want to be the one, and I have been the one. Y'all might not have. But I know I have been one of those that has disrupted unity with my big mouth. I have a size 13 shoe, and I've got to where I can put both feet in my mouth at one time. My mama so many times said, I'm glad that your brothers were not like you. She said, I would have died. She said, Larry and Gary were saints. And she said, you son, and that's it. So look, not only does it deny God's sovereignty and disrupts Christian unity, but it also discredits our Christian testimony. I mean, think about this thing. I want us to have a good testimony. And a testimony is more than just with your mouth. It says, and there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, verse 33, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, so we were in their sight. Our testimony, what you think about yourself, what you think about God, and how you see God in your life, and how you let God work in your life determines how the enemy sees you. Did you know that? Sometimes we say, well, the devil's not bothering me. He's not coming after me. I reckon not. You've not given anything to come after. I can tell you what, when I'm out flotting mosquitoes in the nighttime, I don't go out in somebody else's yard and try to flot a mosquito. I don't flot a mosquito over there not bothering me. I get the mosquitoes that are right there bothering me. So, your testimony, what you feel about God. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. I know God's got this. So, here you go. We talk about it. We talk about a God. We talk about how much we love him. We talk about how good he is. We talk about all of this. But let me ask you a question. Do you really believe it? And here's the answer. If you're murmuring and complaining all the time, my question is, do we really believe? I catch myself. As I was writing this sermon, I was going, ouch, ouch, ouch. I picked up the pen and went, ouch, and put the pen down. And I picked it back up and went, ouch, and put it back down. I said, Lord, if it isn't for anybody else, David Linton needs to practice what he's preaching. Because I find myself sometimes going, this water's too wet. Amen? So here it is. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. A grumbling and complaining Christian is harmful. If you're grumbling and complaining all the time, people don't want to be around you. Sometimes I think the Holy Ghost don't want to be around you. If all you're going to do is complain, everything's wrong. Everything's wrong. You see, let me tell you something. There's nobody on this earth that's all bad, and there's nobody on this earth that's all good. There's nobody on this earth that's all right, and nobody on this earth that's all wrong. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all mess up. I find my biggest problem is I look in the mirror every morning, I see my biggest problem. I shave him. I comb his hair. I brush his teeth. I look in that mirror and say, boy, if you get caught up today in a bunch of mess, we're going to have a problem. He don't listen to me. Nobody likes to be around people that complain all the time. Again, it's one thing to be discerning and all that. I mean, I'm not talking about, don't walk around and go, well, I can't say anything at all now because he done said that I can't say a word. No, I didn't say he couldn't say a word. If you see a problem, fix it. There's a difference, and I'm going to tell you about it. I'm going to get you out of this thing so you don't feel like I'm nailing you to the wall. All right. As a matter of fact, they told me one time, back when I was preaching one time, I was mad when I was preaching. None of y'all have ever been mad when you talked about it. And they said, brother, you got to use some tact. I said, I am. I'm going to tack him to the wall. Okay. Your testimony, has God been good to you? In World War II, there was a paratrooper got lost behind the lines. True story. He got lost behind the lines. The Germans were combing the area because they saw the parachute. The Germans were killing the men when they called them. They were taking prisoners. They were killing them. And so this guy is caught behind enemy lines, separated from the rest of his troop. I'm talking about testimony now. He as he's separated from his troop, he hears the Germans, so he crawls in a cave. He sees a bunch of caves on the hillside. So he crawls in a cave and he sits inside the cave and he can hear him getting closer and closer. And he said, God, I need you to do a miracle for me today. I need you to make me invisible. Help me. He hears the soldiers getting closer and closer. Now they're in the caves and they're looking at the caves. And all of a sudden, a spider comes down. It starts weaving a web. Goes from one side to the other. One side to the other. He says, oh, thank you, Lord. I asked for you to help me, and you send me a spider. He kept weaving the web, weaving the web, weaving the web. And at a fast rate. As he's weaving that web, the soldiers come through with their guns, and they come to where he's at, and he goes, I'm dead. So he just closes his eyes and waits for the worst. And the soldier looks in and says, there's nobody here. There's a spider web in front of this door. Nobody's been here. And they went on. What a testimony. Saved by a spider web. Wow. You see, our God can do it. I like that song. I know my God can do it. To him, there's nothing to it. I know he'll see you through with sweet victory. Even when storms are raging, he is the rock of ages. I know that he is able. Mighty is he. God's awesome. 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 Okay, so here we go. Get ready. How do I stop complaining? I'm glad you asked me that. I thought somebody asked me that anyway. How do I stop complaining? Let me tell you first now. It's going to be a four-letter word. A four-letter word. W-O-R-K. Work. It's like a good marriage, it's work. It's like any good relationship, it's work. You don't just fall off the turnip truck one day and got a good marriage. You don't just fall off the turnip truck and got a good friend. You don't just fall off the turnip truck one day and you're good on your job. It's always work. So first thing is you got to know the warning signs. Here's what I want you to watch. Now, this is in your own life. Know when you're about to start complaining. I can feel it. Especially when my head starts getting kind of hot. Face gets kind of flushed, and I'm looking over, and next thing I know, I'm going, here's how I start. I'm going to just give y'all my how I start. That way, maybe it'll help y'all out. I go, Lord, is anything going to be simple today? Nobody's ever said that. Lord, can anything be simple today? And then I go through the routine. Like I said, one finger's pointing out, three's pointing back. Know when you're about to start complaining and figure out why and tell yourself, okay, get ready to start complaining. This is not crediting God. This is disrupting the testimony. It's disrupting your harmony. And it's disputing God's sovereignty. So let me, Lord, show me how to do Barney Fife. Nip it, nip it. Nip it in the bud. Or how's he doing? Nip it, nip it in the bud. Okay. So watch this. Here we go. Stop it before it begins. That's a novel. A novel idea. At least Satan should get advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices, his plots, and his plans. So I need to understand, Satan loves it when I complain all the time. My favorite place to complain, I know y'all don't have this favorite place. One of my favorite places to pray when I'm at the house is out in my daddy's gazebo and nobody's out there, especially at night. I go out there and swat mosquitoes and pray. But my favorite place to complain, absolute favorite place, is on the highway. I've caught myself saying, Lord, is this National Retard Day? Lord, why is it that all of these people get in front of me? Or how come the person in front of me stops and lets all the traffic out, and I catch them and they won't let me get out for anything? God, what are you doing to me? I know y'all have never done that. No. Matter of fact, I think the Lord invented Greenville for those that like to complain just to give you something to complain about. Okay, so now, you start thinking... thinking about this thing. So now, what I've got to do is, when this is starting, I'm almost through, thinking of good aspects of the situation, okay? Learn to see good. Learn to see good and stop focusing on the bad. I've had somebody come to help me, and when they get there, I say, please quit helping me. But instead of me complaining about them doing it wrong, I should be thanking God that somebody did stop trying to help. Amen? I mean, it's one thing for me just to be complaining. It's another thing if somebody's actually stopped. God, can you send me some help? And he sends me somebody that can't do anything. Thank you, Lord. Look at the good situation. God was listening. Not only was God listening, God says, I'm going to use this chance to put that old rooster in the pressure. I used to love to go to my grandma's house and hear it. Y'all remember the pressure cookers? Some of y'all probably never heard of pressure cookers. It goes. I say, there's a train in the kitchen, Grandma. She goes, oh, that rooster's on that Tender Express. So now you got to learn to see the good. Stop focusing on the bad. Remember, Paul says in Philippians 4:8, think on these things, dwell on these things. Whatever is true, notable, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise. Wow. So first thing you got to do is you got to see the warning signs. You got to think of the good aspects of the situation. Now we're getting ready to put the plow down. Ready? Let's see here. Be mindful and aware. Try to think sensibly and consciously understanding your surroundings. Now, what I've learned over the years is, I've learned not to be so quick to jump to conclusions and judgments. There's a lot of times I just sit there and I'm just going. And they're going, no, aren't you thinking? Aren't you got anything to say? And I'm going, I'm thinking in my head, yeah, I'm trying to think of the right way to handle this and to say it the right way in order that it doesn't sound like I'm complaining or bickering. Or that I'm judging somebody. Now, I remember one time DC and Daniel were about to tear the house down. They were about that tall. Well, excuse me. Daniel was that tall and DC was that tall. They were about to tear the house down. We're at my mother-in-law's house. And we're there. And they're driving us all nutty. I mean, DC ran by, tore a page out of my Bible. I mean, it was just going down. They were about to drive us crazy. And my mother-in-law was doing this the whole time. And I said, wow, she's awesome. And those boys ran up another notch. They were like, they looked like they were bumblebees flying. And she was going. I finally looked over at her and I said, sure. How can you be so calm? And she looked at me. She said, excuse me. I said, how can you be so calm? She said, what? I said, how can you be so calm? She said, hold on just a minute. And she turned back on her hearing aid. She had some help. She turned the hearing aid off, let the boys run like they want to. So be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Meaning, stay alert and be in active pursuit. Be in active pursuit, because you're either going to be pursued or you're going to be the pursuer. Which one do you want to be? Okay? So now, also, here's a good one. Stop judging so much. Why do we get so critical? I find sometimes I get critical and I hate it. I'm about going back to college and they're trying to kill me. And last week, of course, I had two funerals and then we had a mass. And I watched how critical they were to Linda at Mount Olive College when she just asked for a little slack somewhere. They didn't give her no slack, none. And so I'm at Lee and I'm thinking, wow, this is a big place, and I'm not sure if they're going to say. I just wrote to the lady. I wrote to my professor. And I tell you, I'm going to give you the honest, crybaby truth. I wrote to my professor, and I said, I don't mean to sound like a crybaby. I said, but you know, I'm a pastor. I said, I've dealt with, I buried somebody's father on Monday. I said, one of my good friends got killed in an automobile accident. I was going to take him to Emmaus on Thursday. I had to do his funeral on Thursday instead. I've been at Emmaus all weekend. It was so damp and muggy in there. I've been sick. I've lost my voice, and I'm actually sick. And this is on Monday. I have missed 5 days of an 8-semester class. I mean, it's halftime. So 5 days of an 8-semester class is a lot of stuff to miss, papers and stuff. And I wrote down, Just remember, God is a God of grace and mercy. It reminds me of the guy that the preacher kept riding, trying to get a parking space so he could go to the hospital. He rode around the block 10 times, couldn't find a place, and there was a place, a no loading zone. So he parked by there and wrote a note, said, "Dear Mr. Policeman, I rode around the block 10 times trying to find a parking space, could not find one. Deliver us from evil." Second was windshield. He come back 30 minutes later, and that was gone, and the pink slip was up there. It was a ticket on the back, a ticket for parking in an illegal parking. On the back of it said, "I rode around this block for 10 years. It says, and he looks over and he says, "Lead me not into temptation." Here's your ticket. Amen. Okay. So learn not to be critical. We ain't got to take everything just so. Everything that happens is not against us. Amen. Learn to stop judging. Learn to stop nagging over small stuff. You know, sometimes I look and I'm getting all upset, and I think about, wait a minute, that's a small thing. In the whole picture thing, that's small. Well, why am I nagging about this? You know, I've seen people go up to me, especially my family, and they do something, they come and tell me, they go, because they're waiting for me to, you know, get all tore up. And instead, I go, that's no problem. Like when DC and Daniel are teaching how to fish, and they lost $100 worth of lures in a couple of weeks, I think. And I decided, I used to think about it. I used to get upset when I would lose lures, and I was out there with boys. And a matter of fact, just before I took them fishing, I had a friend named David. David pulled me to the side, and he said, "I got a piece of advice for you." I said, "Well," I said, he said, "you can teach your boys how to fish, right?" I said, "Yep." He says, "Well, until they learn how, you don't worry about fishing. You help them and enjoy the ride." And so I said, "That's some awesome stuff." So DC and Danny would lose a $2 lure, $3 lure, they go, "Oh no, Daddy, I'm sorry. And I'd go, "Fellas, Walmart sells them every day. Keep on fishing. Just keep on fishing. I enjoyed myself. I had the most fun fishing with my boys out there in those ponds, just fishing." And it got to the point where they wouldn't go, "Oh no, Daddy, I'm so sorry." They would go, "Oop, there goes another one, but Walmart sells them every day." Amen. Except for the idea, there was one time DC was pitching, and I think they clocked him at 90, maybe a little over 90. He's pitching, nobody in the neighborhood will catch for him. So I'm out there in the middle of the street. I'm catching for him, and he's throwing. I want to get harder, so I said, "Oh, come on. Come on, you can do better than that." And he kept on throwing harder and harder, and he's a lefty, so his balls come to you like this, literally. And then just before they get to you, they go, phew. My legs stayed bruised up from catching for him. Daniel wouldn't catch for him. The other guys catch for him. I said, "Is that the best you can do? Come on." I finally said, "My mama can throw harder than that." And DC said, "Okay, hold on." He threw that thing, and it come at me, and it would go, whoo, 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 whoo. And like an idiot, I stood there. And I'm going. And I was waiting for it to drop. This time it didn't drop. He threw it so hard, it kept on coming. And it hit the top of my glove and hit me right there. I fell over. I was going, and knocked the breath out of me. I'm going, whoo. And he said, "I'm sorry, dude. I'm sorry, dude. I'm sorry." And I go walking in the house, I'm going, his mama said, "Call 911. Your daddy's having a heart attack." And I said, "No." And I pulled up my shirt and had the threads from the baseball all across. And she said, "Oh, DC's pitching. You're fine." I didn't get critical at him. I started wearing a chest protector after that. And a face mask. Listen, I love this, the message. Don't pick on people. Jump on their failures. Criticize their faults. Unless, of course, you want the same treatment. Whoa, back up, Jack. God's got a fancy way of giving you what you give out. He'll pop it to you. The critical spirit has a way of boomeranging. It's easy to see some smudge on your neighbor's face and be oblivious to the ugly sneer on your own. Do you have the nerve to say, let me wash your face while your face is distorted by contempt? I like the Greek says, why are you complaining about a toothpick in your brother's eye while you got a telephone pole in yours? Wow. Okay, we're moving on. Somebody said, please move on. Okay, we're moving on. Here we go. Get ready. We're almost through. I told you. Almost through. Okay, look forward and stay positive. Look forward and stay positive. You know, if you want, your blood pressure depends on you staying positive. Your own mind, because you can think better when your mind's not scrambled because you're so, stay positive. I don't mean you got to say everything. Don't go out like a Pollyanna. Oh, it's nice. It's fine. Now I'm talking about God's got this. It's going to be all right. Keep a positive perspective. Brethren, I count not myself to be apprehended, but it's one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind, reaching forth to the things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of Jesus. So, I'm going to stay forward. I'm not looking back. I'm going forward. I'm watching God. Rome was there. Learn to adapt and welcome change. Complaining about a problem without posing a solution is called whining. Miss Teddy Roosevelt said that. Teddy was my man. Learn to adapt and welcome change. Life is full of changes. When I told you I went to the fountain, I found out real fast, like, they didn't want to hear problems. They wanted to hear, definitely didn't want to hear complaining and whining. What they wanted to hear was solutions. And so whenever I'd see a problem, I'd go and I'd go and tell the CEO or the COO or Mr. Fountain, I would always sit down and I would literally draw out one or two solutions. I would draw them out. I kept a thing of engineering paper. I would draw the stuff out. Nine times out of ten, when I come to him with that problem, nine times out of ten, especially Jack Clark, the CEO, he would say, okay, David, get the people you need and handle it. That was it. Other people come and go, this water's too wet. I can't handle it. Blah, blah, blah. And Jack would say, go get David. I remember that day when I'm thinking OSHA came in. And the week before, our safety manager had quit. We had no safety. And the safety manager quit, and I think he's the one that called. I'd been at lunch. I come in from lunch, and they said, David, they're calling you from everywhere. They were talking on the phone. They were calling overhead. They were calling the cell phone. And I said, what's going on? And Jack said, come on up here. And I just passed this guy with a big camera and the maintenance manager. And the maintenance manager saw me and said, how you doing? How you doing, Bo? And he went. And they passed by me. I go there and said, trying to get a hold of you, David. I sit down, the phone rings. Jack says, get up here. I said, well, Jack, I'm in a busy. I'm kind of hurry. I got a project going on. He said, now. I said, but Jack, he said, now. Okay, you the boss. So I go up there, and while I'm sitting up there, there's no OSHA people in here. There is a statute of limitations. You know that. Okay. And so I walk in, and there's all these people in Jack's office and this guy with a camera. And Jack looks over at me and says, I want to introduce y'all to David Linton. He's our safety man. And I went, sure. And he said, David, I want you to take this man where they said there's a problem. I want you to show him anything he wants to see. And he introduced me to the guy. The guy's name, I think, was Randy from OSHA. We walk outside, and I'd always learned, never, ever. The Bible says, don't let the enemy see you sweat. And I learned I saw all those people all the time coming in from all the, so I was friends with all of them. I cut up with them. I'd never been with this OSHA guy. We walked outside. It was kind of noisy. I said, I'm just going to let him see David Linton in his usual self. So I said, and you work for who? He said, OSHA. I said, who? He said, OSHA. I said, who? He said, OSHA. I said, kazoo type. No joke. This is God's prophet. And he started going, I said, okay, we got a good one here. Oh, Pastor, I figured you had something to do Friday powerful. He says, why? So I just passed you with my maintenance manager. He had the same look on his face that my boys had on their face when they were little and messed up their pants. Didn't want to tell me. He He got laughing again. And then I grabbed my arm around him. Out there in the ocean, man, he got that big old camera. I got my arm around him. We just chuckling. Ah-ha! He said, I'm going to tell you what, David. Walk me to this department. He said, walk back the same way you walked me because I'm going to write you up all the way. That man wrote me up about 40 things. I mean, I was thinking, is there anything good in here? He said, I want this fixed in 40 days. 30 days, 40 days, I want it fixed. I'm coming back. I want it fixed. I'm going to come back and do some more testing. I said, okay. I went back and told Jack. I said, we got 40 things we need to fix. He said, he can. I'll tell you what he can do with that list. I said, okay. Next morning, he called up and said, David, where's that list at? Fix it. Learn to adapt and welcome change. Life's full of changes. Look, complaining will definitely get you nowhere fast. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. You go, well, if you had my husband, if you had my wife, if you had my job, if you had my kids, I guarantee you, there's plenty of people out there who would love to have your husband, or love to have your wife, or love to have your job. The man that can't find a job would love to have your job. The people that can't have kids would love to have your kids. The person that lost their husband or have never been able to get married would love to have your husband, and vice versa. Don't think, well, if you had what I had. No, instead of arguing about it, complaining about it, thank God for it and be ready for the challenge. And here we go. We're getting ready to quit. Somebody say, okay. Guys, y'all going to start getting ready. Okay. We're getting ready, getting ready, getting ready, getting ready, getting ready. Here we go. The last part. Here's what I had to learn to do. Here we go. That guy working his PowerPoint ain't keeping up with me. Okay. How do I stop complaining? Learn to be content. One thing I've learned through life, my life, I can say this, and I'm not saying this as a brag. I'm not saying this as a complaint. I'm just telling you, over this life, I can tell you, and y'all can say the same thing. I've had some tough blows, some hard hits, some major losses. All of us can say that. But you know what? I've had people that might have known what, known some of the stuff, the loss or stuff, that they were there with me. They go, well, how do you keep that smile? And how do you keep on keeping on? And how do you just, the sickness around you and the problems, how do you just keep smiling? Is it a Pollyanna thing? No. I know what's going on. I'm not crazy. I've learned to be content. Philippians 4:11, he says, actually, Paul says, I don't have a sense of needing anything personally. I don't need anything. Nope. I've learned to be content whatever my circumstances. I've learned, except for the one on the highway, I'm trying to learn. One guy asked me, he said, does every preacher come with built-in eating chicken? Having road rage. I said, well, not every one of them, but the ones I know. Okay. Learn to be content with what you have now. I've just learned that because I've learned how quickly things can be snatched out of your hands. You can be expecting something, planning something, have all your future figured out, and God's going, nah, that's not what I got planned for. And while you're going along on the expressway, all of a sudden you get in the pressure cooker. And you're in that pressure cooker and things are tough. I mean, they're hard. You feel the pressure about to burst. And God says, before I can move you ahead, you got to learn to be content. Man. By being content, you push away that urge to complain. Did you know that? By being content, you push away the urge to complain. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you something. This is how I find myself so cheerful. My mama, bless her heart, most of y'all never knew her. But she was at one time was a pretty big woman. And loved life, loved to laugh, loved to cut up. By the time she had died, well, before she died, she'd got down to about 80 pounds. She'd lost both legs. Almost up to her hips, had 6 heart surgeries, had her eyes fixed at Duke, and one eye was still legally blind. And just before she died, they ruptured, and so her eyes were just pitiful. And then she had a tumor in her stomach. And so on top of all this, after the doctor said, I think we're getting somewhere, he told Daddy to come to the side and said, you know what? We found a tumor in her stomach. I give her, I don't know, 6 weeks to live. Maybe eight. I learned some things. First thing I learned was there's still some good people out there, even good doctors, because the doctor said, Daddy said, I'm going to go home and spend this next 6 weeks with her. The doctor said, how are you going to pay everything? He says, I've got some money saved up. I just do the best I can, but I'm going to spend this last 6 weeks with her because I'm always on the road. I don't get to see her a lot, so I'm going to spend this last 6 weeks with her. And this doctor, Daddy owed him hundreds of thousands of dollars. The doctor says, if you'll do that, consider my bill paid in full. And a week later, we got a bill from the doctor that said paid in full. Daddy owed heart doctors and vein doctors and all this stuff. And then he called Daddy and said, are you still getting those bills? Daddy said, yes. He said, if you get another one, bring it to me. All the bills stop. They brought Mama some kind of substandard bed with sand bed. Keep that source. He come by. He stopped by the house to see Mama, and he saw that bed, and he said, this ain't going to do it. The next day, Mama had a brand new bed. I saw agape, grace, and such action from that doctor. And he told my daddy, if you ever need anything, you just call me. But I remember watching Mama, and Mama being some of her worst times, and she called me, my nickname's Cricket, and said, she'd go, I go, yes, ma'am. She goes, talk to me. What she was saying was, just come over and be yourself. I go around to Mama and I just start cutting up. She said, tell me how your day's been. And I start cutting up. And she'd laugh and laugh and laugh. She kept falling out of her bed, falling and slipping down. So I told her I went and got an inner tube and I was going to tie it on her bed. She said, what you going to do with inner tube, son? I said, I'm going to tie it on the rails. I'm going to put your stumps in it. Every time you laugh and chuckle, when you go down to the side, that inner tube will pull you back up. She laughed and chuckled. I see those things. All the other things, the death of DC and Daniel's mom, Bethany's mom, and all the tragedy there. And I see other things. You know what? I look back and what it's caused me to do is, honestly, be content. You don't know tomorrow if the person you're with is even going to be here. You don't know if you're going to be here. You don't know tomorrow what could happen. Learn to be content with what you have. Being content, you push away the urge to complain. But not only do you push away the urge to complain, you find the happiness that you need. The happiness that you need to be fulfilled. Say, why am I even whining for it? As a counselor, as I talk to people, I begin to think, you know what? It ain't so bad after all. Not some of the things I've seen. No, not so bad after all. If you're a caregiver of any type, you've seen some rough stuff. Rough stuff. But you know what? You say, thank you, God, that you've spared me from that. And if I have to go through it, I'll trust you to go through it. Whether you complain about smaller or bigger things in life, consider living complaint-free. And your spirit. Keep your spirit at ease. Keep your spirit at ease. When I went to Emmaus last week, they already knew about the situations with Bill and other things. And they told me, said, look, if you don't want to do this, we understand. And I said, huh? They said, you got a lot on your plate. If you don't want to do this, we understand. We can take care of it. And I said, I know you're not talking to me. No. God's got this. God's got it. And then halfway through, I lost my voice. And somebody did say, amen. I did see something I never seen before. Every Emmaus trip, I see something different. We had a guy who had a compressor explode in his ear. He was sitting at the table and he couldn't hardly hear and he was hurting and holding his head in his hands. And one of the guys came up to him and said, do you think you can pray for this guy. He weren't going to come because of his ear, he said, but he came anyway. And so we put him in a chair, and all the guys gathered around him. We were praying for him, and I had my hand on his ear, and we were praying for him, and the other guy had a neck brace on. And he said, can you pray for me too? So I laid my hand on his neck. And then he said, can you ask God to wait the Wednesday to do it? So I went to his table afterwards and said, post day to prayer? You don't want it today? You want it Wednesday? He said, I'm going before disability board Tuesday. I need my disability. So I asked God to heal me on Wednesday. So I put my hand back on his neck and I said, Lord, get him. He came to me later that night and said, you rascal. Me, what have I done? He said, God healed it tonight. I said, that weren't me, that was God. He said, but I asked you to wait till Wednesday. I said, it's not in my hands. I'm not anything. I'm just a vessel. God is the one that healed you, and he decided to heal you tonight. I can see God going on, no, there. Consider living complaint-free. And just watch how wonderful you'll feel. Wonderful you'll feel. Everybody stand up.
Jesus,
God is awesome.
Jesus,
I'm going to ask us all to pray a prayer together. Then I'm going to open the altars up. Everybody first just close your eyes and raise your hands. Repeat after me. Lord, nothing or nobody is perfect. Help me to resist the urge to complain. Help me, God, to realize that with the measure I give out, I get it back. That's not my word, that's yours. Help me, God, to be content in my circumstances. In order that you can promote me at your will. I thank you, God. I praise your name. I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for your help. In the name of Jesus. Now, this altar's open. If you have any need from God whatsoever, you have a need, a spiritual need, you have a physical need, you may be sick in your body, you need a touch, you may just want to thank God for the day. Come on up.
Jesus.
Come on up.
Jesus.
Instead of saying that, instead of tomorrow saying, Lord, I got to go back to work to that place. Just say, Lord, thank you that I get a chance to work. Tomorrow, today. You see something that's aggravating, you say, Lord, if I got to see that one more time, instead of complaining, say, Lord, I thank you that I got eyesight, that I can see. I thank you, God, that I can hear. I thank you, God, that I do have youngest. I thank you, God, that I do have a spouse. I thank you, God, that I'm not on the street somewhere. I thank you, God. I thank you, Lord. I don't have to, I get to. I get to come to church this morning. Some people would love to come to church this morning. Anybody else? Come on up here and pray. God's in control. God's in control. God's in control. God is in control. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Complain and remain. Praise and be raised. Complain and remain, but praise and be raised.
But there's
Thank you, God.
About
thank you, God.
That name.
Thank you, God.
Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
Jesus,
thank you, Lord.
Jesus. There's